Amen. Well, good morning, church. It is so good to be with you all today. Like Pastor said, today is our second son, Luke's birthday. This is actually his first birthday in America. So we are really thankful that we have the opportunity to be with you all today. We're honored that your church would have us speak today. We are so thankful on behalf of all missionaries around the world. We are so thankful for churches like you that care about reaching people all around the world. You get it. You don't want to just reach people locally in your community, but you want to reach people globally. And we couldn't do it without you, so we are just so thankful. My wife, normally she'd be up here, but if you saw during the worship, we have very active, energetic little boys. And so we tried bringing them up on stage one time, and they just ran right off. So we figured we'd save ourselves that trouble. And so after service, you're welcome to come say hi to us. We are the Olsons. We spent the last 2 years serving in Vienna, Austria, working with the International Church. And now we are excited that God is now sending us out from that International Church to help relaunch the International Church in Florence, Italy. You know, I grew up never thinking I was going to be a missionary or go into ministry. I went to school to be a physical education teacher. I thought that's what I was going to do the rest of my life, teach PE. But thankfully, I realized that God had something else in store for me. And I tell you, when you're doing what God has called you to do, there's nothing like it. I was thankful to be part of a missions-minded church like this. One summer, I had off as a teacher, and they were going on missions trips. And I had never been out of the country before, never been on a missions trip before. But I thought, you know, this would be a great experience, a great way to deepen my relationship with God. Well, I go on that missions trip, and then God calls me to the missions field. And for me, that was a big change because I was just starting my career. I thought that's what I was going to be doing, and then God totally changed directions. But how many of you know when God speaks to you, first we have to listen, and then we have to obey. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful for a wonderful wife like Angelina. She was actually called in a very different way. I was called later in life as I was starting my career. Angelina was actually called at 8 years old to be a missionary to Italy. She was part of a missions-minded church like this, and we're so thankful for kids' ministries and believing that God can speak to our children too. You know, the Holy Spirit can speak to people of all ages. God can speak to your children. It doesn't matter how young or how old they are. And so I'm thankful that God speaks to us even at 8 years old. And so God was preparing our hearts to go to Italy, and we actually wound up, you know, it's funny when you look at God's timing of things. God had us go to Vienna for a couple of years first, and we realized that nothing's by accident. And it's always good to do things in God's timing, because we believe that God has people prepared for us to hear about Jesus. And he sent us to Vienna, and we saw God move in some amazing ways. And I'll share a couple of stories about that in a minute. But I am just so thankful to be here. You know, Pastor Stephen, you guys are blessed with a wonderful preacher. I don't know if you realize that, but you all are blessed with a wonderful preacher. And so, amen. Amen. And so I wanted to make sure I had my nice study Bible up here for you all today. I wanted to make sure I brought the word. I'm excited that I get to preach the message after Easter Sunday. So thanks for coming back today. Thanks for being here, whether you're watching online. Thank you for tuning in. I'm excited to bring the Word of God today. And so in a minute, we're going to get into God's Word. So if you want to get ready, we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew. Whether you have your Bibles here or if you have your phone or iPad, you can get ready. We're going to be in Matthew. But before that, I wanted to share my testimony. You know, I believe that there are people here who maybe need encouragement. People maybe here who need to be challenged. Maybe you were here and you were listening to the message last week and you weren't ready to commit your life to Jesus yet. You weren't ready maybe to start that relationship. Well, we don't want you to wait a moment longer. You know, we have a God who can do miracles. We have a God who heals. It's a miracle that I'm standing here before you today. When I was born with a very rare and life-threatening brainstem disease. There was no cure for this. The doctor said there was no chance I was going to live past childhood. My body was affected in many different ways. I had to eat through a feeding tube. I had to be on breathing monitors. Even when I started to learn how to talk, I couldn't speak. I had to learn how to speak sign language because my body was affected. And really, it was very strange because I had a mom who believed in the power of prayer. And so I'm so thankful for moms who believe in the power of prayer, who pray for their children and never give up. Because obviously I'm standing before you here today because God did a miracle in my life. And you know, yeah, praise to Jesus. I believe that we are supposed to, give praise to God for what he's done in our lives. And so, you know, it was interesting, the miracle that God did in my life, it wasn't like a lot of the miracles that we read about in the Bible that Jesus did. It was not an instantaneous healing. It was much more of a progressive, over time work that God was doing in my life, where year after year, I was still here, I was starting to get better, and the doctors could not explain it. The doctors could not understand why I was still alive. It's funny, if you know anything about the Make-A-Wish Foundation, well, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, especially back when I was a kid, they really only did things for people who were really, like, sick, really about to die. And so when I was in elementary school, the Make-A-Wish Foundation sent my whole family on a all-access VIP trip to Disney World because they thought that was the last year I was going to have left to live. But how many of you know, the doctors were pretty surprised when we came back from that trip, and instead of getting worse, I was getting better. And so I'm so thankful that we serve a God who heals. And you know, amen. You know, it took me a while to realize, you know, I always believed in God. I grew up in the church. But it took me some time to realize that God healed me not so that I could just enjoy life or just have faith in God and believe in him, but God healed me so that I could give my life completely to him, to serve him, to be used for his purposes, for his glory. And so I'm so thankful that God, he's so loving, he's so full of grace, he walks through us with that, he gives us lots of patience, and now to see it being walked out, I'm just so thankful, and I hope that encourages someone today. Maybe there's someone today who needs a healing, and I want you to know that we never stop praying. I'm so thankful that this church believes in the power of prayer, that we pray without ceasing. So I hope you're encouraged by that. All right, so we're going to start in Matthew chapter 5 today. Verse 41, how many of you like to run? Anyone in here like to run? Yeah, I'm not surprised there's like three hands. I don't blame you. You know, through high school and college, I was a runner. That's what I did all year round, fall, winter, spring. I ran. And now, you know, then I went to be a PE teacher, did sports and activities, and now that I'm done with that, I'm like, I don't like running either. I'm getting old now. I don't like to run. But this sermon today I titled The Extra Mile. And luckily for us today, it does not apply in a literal sense. We're not talking about having to run an extra mile literally, but figuratively. And this is actually something that Jesus tells us to do. If you look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 41, this is in a part of the Bible where Jesus is talking to his followers. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to these Jewish people. And they were used to following the Jewish law. For years and years, they were taught to follow it to the letter of the law that God gave to Moses in the Old Testament. Well, Jesus comes along and he says, yes, follow the law is great, but now I'm bringing you a new command. I'm teaching you a new way to live that means following the law, but we're taking it to the next level. And how many of you know that sounds hard? If you read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives some hard commands in it. But how many of you know it's for our good? It's for his glory. This verse in particular says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. And this is actually something in that day and age when Jesus was speaking to his crowd, they would have understood this because he was speaking to them in a literal way. Back then, the Jewish people, they were under Roman authority. And so there was actually a Roman law that said if a Roman soldier who was carrying his gear and his pack and his weapon, if he passed by any Jewish person on the road, he could force that person to walk 1 mile and carry their pack for them or face punishment. And so this is a quite literal thing. Jesus is saying, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Now, why would Jesus say this? Why would he want them to do twice the amount of work of what's required of them? How many of you want to do twice the amount of work that's required of you? Think about your jobs. Do you want to do twice the amount of work? If we're honest, most of us say, no way. There's no benefit to that. What, no one's even going to see. No one's going to give me a raise. No one's going to give me a promotion if I do twice the amount of work. But how many of you know, if a Jewish person decided to go 2 miles, working hard, carrying that Roman soldier's pack, how many of you know that would make quite a statement to that Roman soldier? That would be something unheard of, something they'd never seen. Why would this person do that? Why would they be willing to work harder? Well, we believe that God can speak through us when we go the extra mile in people's lives. There's people's lives around you that when you go the extra mile, God can use that to speak into their lives. God wants us not just to have faith in him, but to grow in our faith. And how do we grow in our faith? We put it to work. And so we're going to read a parable of Jesus today. We're going to flip forward to Matthew chapter 25. So we started kind of at the beginning of Jesus' work here on earth, and now we're looking, this is one of his last times that he was speaking to his disciples. And so Jesus gets real blunt. He's just telling them how it is. He doesn't have a lot of time yet left before he goes to the cross. And so the disciples are asking Jesus, Lord, how are we going to know when you're going to return? What will be the sign of your coming? We want to be prepared when you come back. And it's interesting what Jesus says in these parables. If you want some extra homework, you know, I'm a teacher, so if you want some homework, this is a good homework, read the parable before, the parable of the 10 virgins. But we're going to read this parable right now, the parable of the bags of gold. I'm reading from the NIV. Some translation call it the parable of the talents, which I kind of like better because we're speaking more figuratively, because this is a parable. But it applies to us today. So let's just pray real quick for God's word to be real. I hope you're ready. I hope your hearts are open, ready to receive what God wants to speak into your life today. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with these wonderful people, Lord God, for those watching online. Lord, I pray that you just speak through me right now. Allow your word to become alive and active in people's hearts and lives. Allow us to leave here and never be the same. We don't want to just live life the same way we've been living it, but we want to live for you. Help us to go the extra mile today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let's dive in. Read along with me, not out loud, but you can just follow along. It says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. It says, the man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. So like I said, Jesus starts to get blunt with his disciples, telling them how it is. And it's important for us to realize in this parable, Jesus is the master and his followers are the servants. And so how many of you know we want to be like those first two servants? We want to make sure we take what God has given us, and the talents or the bags of gold in this translation really represent what God has given us, our abilities, our time, our resources, our gifts. And what do we do with that? Do we just sit on it, not use it for his glory, or do we put it to work? You know, sometimes we don't like that word work because it means we have to do something. We can't be lazy. And how many of you know this past year has been tough? You know, this past year has been especially tough on pastors. I hope you pray for your pastors. You know, they've been doing a great job this past year figuring out how to do ministry, still how to reach people in the community, how to get creative. So please pray for your pastors. It's so important. But how many of you know this year, this past year, we can't just say, oh, God, it was okay that we didn't do anything. You know, 2020 was just an off year. We took it off because how could we have continued to do ministry? What could we do? We were stuck at home. We couldn't leave. We can't gather together. But how many of you know God hasn't stopped working? This church is a testament to that. God has not stopped working this past year. But we can't make excuses. We can't ever think we've arrived, that we can just sort of take it easy, get lazy, laid back, think we've arrived, think we've done enough for God. Some of you in here, you might be at points where you've been serving the Lord for 30, 40 years, and you think, all right, I can retire now. I can retire from serving the Lord. How many of you know you can retire from your jobs, but you can't retire from serving the Lord? As long as he has us here on this earth, still with breath in our lungs, we are supposed to serve him. And to continually serve him and to grow in him, we have to keep working and working and working. But we have to ask ourselves these three questions. And I felt like God wanted me to have you ask yourselves these three questions today to help us to go the extra mile. The first question is, first of all, that we have to ask ourselves is, why go the extra mile? Why do it? You know, the servants didn't know when the master was going to return. That's really the key that Jesus was trying to teach the disciples. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. We always have to be prepared. And that's hard because that means you're always ready. Always ready. You have to be alert. You have to be awake. Because we don't know when Jesus is going to return. So why go the extra mile? Well, number one is we want to please God. We want to be those people, when we see Jesus face to face, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. We don't want to be ones that disappoint Jesus. I want to make sure that when I see Jesus face to face, I can share in the joy of the Lord. The scary thing about what Jesus is teaching us in these parables is that he's speaking to people inside the church. Did you know that? He's talking to people who would call themselves Christians. And the strange thing for us to sometimes try to comprehend is that not everyone who calls themselves a Christian is going to enter the kingdom of God. And that's a healthy fear to kind of have. That's not a bad thing. That's not a scary thing. It wants us to make sure we're prepared. Because we can't just say, all right, Lord, I took that step of faith. I believe in you now. And then just take it off for the rest of your life. Say, I have faith, that's good enough. I can speak from experience, that's not how God wants us to live our lives. He wants us to come to that moment of faith, but then he says, I want to use you. I want to expand my kingdom. And that's why we talk about missions. That's why we do events in our community, because we want to expand the kingdom of God. It was so great to hear last week, Pastor Stephen mentioned how this church was helping out another fellow missionary in Austria, the Clarks, with their getting their vehicle ready. You know, they do a lot of work in the Alps where there's lots of snow. We were over in Vienna where it's much different. It's a very international city. you know, in Vienna, more people who lived in Vienna were not Austrians. They were from all other parts of the world, people, even refugees who would come to Europe trying to find a better life. And we don't want people to just find a better life in Europe. We want them to find life in Jesus. Lots of people, you know, think Europe is this Christian continent. There's such a rich history of the church and of Christianity in Europe. But in this day and age, people who are living in Europe have turned away from God. They've really walked away from those churches. Those churches are now tourist attractions. And it really is a sad thing. You know, we were living in Vienna, and there's this major city right in the center of the city. And it's a tourist attraction. And really, God put a burden on our hearts, on Angelina and I, that we would see revival in Europe, that we would see people who have a renewed hunger and passion for a personal relationship with Jesus. And one story about that, this is about Cornelia, and about how she went the extra mile. You know, we were in Vienna during the lockdown this past year. Luke actually celebrated his first birthday under lockdown. We weren't able to leave the house. And so we're thankful that this year, on his birthday, we can kind of be out and about. We're not stuck home. But there was this person in our church, Vienna Christian Center, the international church that we were working with, named Cornelia. Cornelia was an Austrian. She grew up in Austria, which in name and by law is a Catholic country. And so really, you would think Cornelia had every opportunity during her life to give her life to Jesus, to have a relationship with God. Well, Cornelia, she turned towards everything but God to try to find purpose in life, to try to find peace and joy and fulfillment. She turned towards partying and drinking and men, and she realized that all those things were coming up empty. They weren't giving her what she was looking for. Well, Cornelia was one of the lucky ones because she actually had a friend who was a follower of Jesus. And what we've seen in Europe is that most people that we would meet have never actually met someone who was a follower of Jesus, someone who has a personal relationship. They just don't understand what that even looks like, what that means. And so Cornelia was one of the lucky ones. She had a friend who showed Jesus to her, who made Jesus real in her life. She realized, wow, this person's different. This person reacts differently when things happen to them. And Cornelia, she was invited to church. She came to church one day and she realized, you know, what I'm looking for is Jesus. That's what I need. But, you know, she would not have gotten to that point if her friend didn't go the extra mile to show what Jesus really was, that Jesus could be real in your life, that you could have a relationship with him. That's what we're talking about when we talk about going the extra mile. Well, fast forward to the lockdown this past year. We were trying to do baptisms, and we didn't know when we'd be able to meet together as a church to do the baptisms that we had planned. So we had to get creative, and we did a baptism class on Zoom for those who were interested. It was amazing that we had the most people turn out for that baptism class on Zoom than we had the whole past year when we were doing it in person. And so praise to God for that. And Cornelia was one of those people who wanted to take the next step in her faith and be baptized. She wanted to go the extra mile. You know, we were under lockdown. We couldn't leave her house. She didn't know when she would actually be able to be baptized. She didn't know if she'd have to wait a year. But she said, I'm going to take this next step. I want to do what God has asked me to do. I want to be baptized. I want to make a public declaration of my faith. It would have been easy for her to just say, you know, I'll just wait. I don't know when it's going to happen. I'm stuck here. We can't even meet as a church. She could have just put it off. Maybe 1 year. Maybe 2 years. Maybe 3 years. But no, she wanted to go the extra mile and say, you know what? I'm going to take this step. And it was amazing over the summer, this past year, when we were able to meet back together as a church. We were able to baptize her and have her take that step. And it was so amazing to see her walking out what God has called her to do. And so some of you might be here. And that extra mile for you might be taking the next step in your faith. You've come back to Jesus, to a relationship with him, and you're saying, what's next? Maybe it's baptism. The second question, you know, because we asked ourselves, why? Well, we want to see the kingdom of God expand. We want to be good, faithful servants to Jesus. But the second question, Can you go the extra mile? Can I go the extra mile? I want to. I know I should, but I feel like I can't. I'm exhausted. I'm worn out. This past year, I've been working so hard, trying to get by, trying to figure out how to help my children in school and work at the same time. Maybe I haven't been able to leave the house. Maybe you're watching online and you haven't even been able to leave your house much this past year. I feel like I can't go the extra mile. Like I said, we can't make excuses to Jesus. But you know, we have an unlimited source of power that we can turn to. We have a God who can give us strength in our weakness. We have the Holy Spirit, and we are supposed to work in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. If you read, especially through the Gospel of John, you see that Jesus tells us he had to go to the Father so that he could send the Holy Spirit to us, so that we could be used in greater ways. And so maybe you're in that position where you're asking yourself, I don't even think I can do it, but you haven't even yet turned to the source of the one who can allow you to do it, who can give you the ability. That's why we have faith. That's why we rely on the Holy Spirit to help us. We turn to him when we feel weak. You know, I have two brothers and two sisters. I'm a middle child for any middle children here today. And it's amazing that I'm standing here up on this stage speaking because I am not a talker. I'm probably talking here more on this stage than my brothers and sisters have heard me talk for most of my life. I used to hate and dread public speaking above all else. I know many of you are probably like that. Did never want to speak in front of people. But how many of you know that God, through our weaknesses, makes us strong? And it's nothing about ourselves. It's about the work and power of God working in us and through us. And so I want you to be encouraged by that today. I want you to be challenged by that. What is God speaking to you? Because I believe that you can do it. We can't make excuses. We can't say, maybe next year. Maybe when I have to stop wearing masks all the time. You know, Luke turned 2 today. You know what that means? Probably he has to learn how to wear a mask now. We're not looking forward to that, but, you know, that's something we all have to face, wearing these masks. But it really ties into, you know, there are hindrances, there are things that exhaust us and make us work hard, but maybe we have to realize, maybe I'm working hard in the wrong things. Maybe I'm spending all my effort and energy in the wrong places, and I have to reevaluate, I have to reflect on that. Let's go to the last question. What's that extra for you? And I'm thankful that I don't have to stand in front of you and tell you what that extra is for you. How many of you know God knows you better than you know yourself? Now, maybe there are some pastors here on staff that they'd be able to tell you, well, this is an area where you can serve. This is something that you can do. But I'm not going to say that today. I don't know you well enough. I know that this is a missions-minded church, so I would say definitely praying for missionaries is at the top of the list. You know, for years and years, Angelie and I, we were on this side of things where we were supporting missionaries, we were sending out missionaries, we were praying for missionaries. And sometimes when you're not there on the front lines, it's easy to think, do my prayers make a difference? Is what I'm doing making a difference? Let me tell you, your prayers are powerful. They make a difference in the missionaries' lives that you pray for. So don't stop praying for missions. That's an easy way. You know, some of you who are stuck home, you're watching this online. Prayer is one of the main ways that God may be trying to use you during this season of life to go the extra mile. Maybe he's calling you to pray more than ever before. I've seen some churches where they're doing more prayer meetings and things online than they did ever before COVID. They're saying, well, we got to get creative. We can't stop doing ministry. We got to figure out how we can do more, how we can continue to reach people, how we can continue to expand. We want people to come into a relationship with God. And that really comes down to being led by the Holy Spirit. What is God speaking to you? When we were on lockdown in Austria, I had this funny encounter. You know, I was praying one day we built up a relationship over our 2 years in Austria with this refugee family from Syria. They had left Syria because of the violence and the war that was going on there, and they had come to Vienna to find a better life for their children. And I have a picture of my friend Bahar, and we did an outreach with Convoy of Hope in Europe to give away free groceries to people in need, and Bahar was one of those people that came that day, and we were able to pray with him and share about Jesus, and he was really receptive, and we just hit it off, so we built this friendship, and I wanted to be able to share more about Jesus with his wife and his children, so we went over their house, got really accustomed to Middle Eastern culture and cuisine. You know, I'm not a big coffee drinker, but Syrians, they drink this really dark, thick, black coffee. And being a good missionary, being a good guest, when they offered me that coffee and the wife was watching me to see if I would drink it, I made sure to drink that whole cup of coffee. Even though I didn't like it, I wanted to make sure I was being a good guest. And we built this friendship. They actually were one of the first families that came to visit us when we got home from the hospital with Luke. That's Luke right there, and that's Bahar and his wife. They came to visit us, and it was funny. We learned a Syrian tradition that day because I was changing Luke's clothes, and as I was changing his clothes, money fell out. And I'm not accustomed to money falling out of my baby's clothes. I don't know about the rest of you. So I made a big deal about it, like, what's this money doing here? And come to find out, it's a Syrian tradition that I probably made a bigger deal out of than I was supposed to, because when you visit a family that's had a new baby, you hide money inside the baby's clothes as a gift to the family and to the baby. And that was really something that struck me as powerful, because this is a refugee family. They have nothing, but they were willing to still bless us with a gift. And we were thankful that we were able to bless them in return with the good news about Jesus. Fast forward to the lockdown, we were stuck at home. We hadn't been able to hear from Bahar for 3 months, and I was calling him, and I really felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me one day, go visit Bahar, bring him some food. You know, he lived on the other side of the city. It took about an hour to get there. I could have easily just said, I'll go a different day, or, you know, he'll be all right. But the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and I wanted to obey. I decided to go visit him, and I stopped at the store nearby his house, and I actually run into Bahar at that store. I say, Bahar, wow, what are the odds that I would run into you at the same time I was just coming to see you? And we're talking. He tells me, well, he actually doesn't live in that apartment anymore. He got a different phone number. And I go, this is a God divine appointment right here that we're meeting at the exact same moment. Because if I went to that apartment, he wouldn't have been there. We would have lost all connection with them. But how many of you know God wasn't done with Bahar and his family? But I had to be, number one, first listening to the Holy Spirit. And then number two, obedient. Because sometimes we hear things from God, or we're reading the Bible, or we're praying, or we hear a message, or we're in a discipleship class, and God speaks something to us, and we're like, oh, maybe that wasn't from God, or I don't want to do that. But how many of you know God will never tell you to do something that won't help expand his kingdom, that won't help you grow in your relationship with him? And so we have to be obedient. And so I hope that story encourages you about what that extra might be for you. You might be sitting here and you might say, I have some sort of gift. I have some sort of resource. How can I put that to work for him? And I'd love to be able to talk to you one-on-one and give you the answer, but it's not always that easy. And so as we close today, I wanted to make sure we took some time to reflect. Maybe you're here today and you didn't want to have to do extra work. You didn't want to have to work hard for Jesus. And maybe you're realizing today, I need to do that. Maybe you realized, hey, I want to do what God has called me to do, but I just don't feel like I have the time. I don't feel like I have the energy. I'm exhausted. I feel like I'm working two jobs already. Well, I want you to know that we can turn to the one who can give us that ability. We can turn to the one who can refresh our soul, to give us a new strength, a new spirit. Maybe you're here and you just need direction. Maybe you don't know what it is directly that God wants you to be doing. Well, I want you to know that we can turn to him. We can ask of God anything, and we trust that he will answer us. Not always in our timing. You know, We asked God to send us to the missions field when we got married in 2012, and God had us wait 5 years. And how many of you know it was a good 5 years, even though it was hard waiting? God was preparing us. God was using us in our community. God was preparing the people that we were to go to Vienna at that exact moment in time, that we would have missed if we went earlier or later. God's timing is always perfect. And so I'm going to invite Pastor to come up in a minute, and we're just going to spend some time in reflection. Maybe ask yourself one of those questions. You know, can I do it, God? What do I need to do? Maybe you're here, you heard the message last week, maybe you weren't ready to give your life to Jesus, to have that relationship with him. Well, today might be that day for you. You don't need to wait. Maybe you missed the opportunity to come forward last week. Don't miss that chance to start the most fulfilling, joyous relationship that you can have with Jesus Christ.